Amen. God is good. He's awesome. Love being here. Love our praises. It's just like it just, praises just lift us into the heavenly realm. They really are so good for us. And it just feels good to praise God and worship Him. It's just awesome. Well, today the Lord's put a message on my heart. We're going to be looking at Moses' tabernacle as a place of worship. And you can go ahead and put slide one. And we're going to see the steps into God's presence and how we can abide and live in the presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 8, it says Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." So in God had specific instructions for the tabernacle, and it's a type of our walk with God today and how we grow from step to step. Hallelujah. The presence of God was continually in the Holy of Holies, and when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, opening up the way for us to continually go into the presence of God and be in the presence of God. Amen. And so now in the New Testament, it's not a tent that houses God's presence, it's His people. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and God dwells in you?" So they used to have to go to a place to find God's presence. And now when we're born again, God's presence lives in us and abides in us. There was a white fence around the tabernacle, and that's a type of the righteousness of God that surrounds our worship. Just as everything in the tabernacle was in a perfect order, God has a perfect plan for His children. The tabernacle was the center of life. There was the tabernacle, and then camped immediately around the tabernacle was the tribe of Levi. And then after that, all of the other tribes were camped around the Levites. And all of us have a special place in the body of Christ, but we all have equal access to God. Every one of us has equal access. Not one person has more access than anyone else. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that there is one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. Used to, it was like the Levites were the mediator between the people and where God's presence was. But now the only mediator is Jesus Christ. Slide two. The tabernacle was divided into three parts. There was the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. In the outer court, it was in the open air, and all the people could come into the outer court to bring their offerings. The furniture was made of brass and wood. Brass talks about judgment, and wood talks about the flesh. And it's where man meets the judgment of God and is cleansed. It's where the sacrifices were made. And so in the outer court, there was a bad odor from the burning of the sacrifices. And when God deals with our flesh, sometimes it stinks because we want our own way and we have to learn to be submitted and yielded to God. Amen. The holy place was in the tent, the first room in the tent. The furniture was wood covered with gold. Gold speaks of the nature of God. Gold and wood, it's where God meets man. And God overshadows man where God is the only thing that is seen. God doesn't cover us with His glory or his presence in our original condition. He molds us to be in the form he wants us to be, and God doesn't conform to us, we conform to God. And then when we conform to God, he covers us with his nature. Gold speaks of the nature of God. Romans 8:22 tells us to be conformed to the image of the Son. Isaiah 29 tells us that he's the potter and we're the clay, so he's to mold us. In the holy place, there was continually a sweet smell from the incense that was burned, and the only light was from the golden candlestick, and only the priest could enter. And in the new covenant, we're all priests now. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So, you know, there were only certain priests in the Old Testament, but when we're born again, we're all priests unto the Lord, every one of us. The furniture was wood covered with gold, and the only light was the glory of God. We've moved into the Holy of Holies, and there the furniture was still wood covered with gold, and the only light in the Holy of Holies was the glory of God. And the high priest was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, and then only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And we're going to read about the altar of incense in a minute, but the altar of incense was in the holy place except on the Day of Atonement, and then it was moved into the Holy of Holies. But they would on the Day of Atonement, they would take that into the Holy of Holies, the altar of incense, and before they would go in, they would have to offer sacrifices for sin. The priest would have to go through a cleansing process to be clean, and if he went into the Holy of Holies with sin in him, he would immediately fall dead. And because sin can't enter the presence of God. Jewish tradition tells us that they would, before he went into the Holy of Holies, they would tie a rope around his ankle so that if he died, they could pull him out. Because anybody that tried to go after him would probably fall dead too. And now the blood of Jesus just covers us. And the way's open for us to be in the presence of God all the time. And his blood covers our sins, and that's good news. The priest, part of the priest's garment, they had bells all on the bottom of their robe. So the people out of the Holy of Holies could tell he was still alive by the twinkling of the bells, because they could hear him moving in there. And he's still alive. We're going to go to the groups of three slide. And three is the number for completion. And there's many groups of three in the Bible in that what we're studying today. In Hebrews, it talks about the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. In John, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." 1 Thessalonians talks about the body and the soul and the spirit. Romans, it talks about the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. And 1 Corinthians says there's faith, hope, and love, but the love's the greatest. Romans 14 talks about righteousness, peace, and joy. Acts 2:19 talks about blood and fire and smoke. And the first one is like in alignment with the outer court. In the outer court, we learn the way God deals with our body or our flesh. We come into the good will of God. We find faith, because you can't be born again without faith. That's where we find righteousness. And Jesus is our righteousness. His blood makes us righteous. And then the blood. Something interesting about our natural blood in our body is that Blood cleanses the body and carries oxygen to the cells. And by Jesus' body, blood, we were cleansed, and it also brings air, it brings freshness, it brings life to us. And in the second set, that represents the holy place, we learn the truth. God deals with our soul. We find the acceptable will of God. We have hope and peace and fire. In the third place, the Holy of Holies, that's where the life is, and spirit, and perfect love and joy and the smoke of his presence. Amen. The tabernacle had three doors going into the outer court. They went into the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. And in John 10, Jesus says, "I am the door." And Jesus is the only door into the presence of God. And when we grow from one place to another, he's the door we go through to grow. And so Jesus is the only door to enter the presence of God. You can't get there through good works, through the law, through religion, through the saints, through Mary, the mother of Jesus. We call Mary blessed, and we honor her, but she's not the door. We can't go through her to get to the presence of Jesus. He is the only door. Amen. Hallelujah. The law of Moses had 603 laws. And the new covenant only has two, loving God and loving our neighbor. And if we do, as ourselves, if we do those, that just covers everything. Aren't you glad we only have two laws to remember instead of 603 to try to please God? You know, could we even memorize that many? In the tabernacle, there were daily sacrifices made to the Lord. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And hallelujah. I skipped something here. I know I'm missing things. We're going into back to the outer court, and we're going to go through the different steps to the Holy of Holies. And right now we're on the brazen altar. It was a place of repentance and surrender. Do you want to share about the sheep? Right here and right now, if you want to. Calvin has learned some things about the sacrificial lambs that he was going to share right now.
Okay, is that what we're going to put on the altar? Okay. Yeah, I'd been doing a study lately on sheep because we are one. Do you know God calls us lambs? He calls us his sheep, his flock. Now, I was raised a cowboy, but the biggest and richest rancher that was neighbor to our little ranch had half cattle and half sheep, so he was half cowboy and half sheep boy. But because we were neighbors and he needed help as a young boy and a young man, many times when they would have their sheep round up, I would be there to help them shear the wool and that sort of thing. And then my dad was a trucker for the valley, and so we would haul the wool after it was sheared. We'd haul the wool to the market. And so I had quite a lot of experience as a young man, even as a cowboy young man, with sheep. But something that Barbara was studying, she was studying this, some things come up in my memory about sheep. And a sheep is the only animal you can butcher that doesn't resist. There's no resistance. Absolutely no resistance. We have butchered many of them. And you just pick them up and set them on their hind end, and they're just like this. And you just reach around with a knife and take their blood through the throat. And they never do anything but just take it. And the Bible says that Jesus was our lamb that was slain as a sacrifice for us. And he was slain as a lamb. He didn't resist. The Apostle Peter says in his writings, he said that Jesus did not resist those things that they did unto him. He was the perfect lamb. And so as we study these things, it's really all pointing towards Jesus. You know, she's talking about the door was Jesus, and this was Jesus, and that was Jesus. I want you to listen for that part of it, because everything she's about to say and has been saying is pointing towards someone. His name is Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus is my all in all. Amen.
Thank you, Calvin. Blood, when they made a sacrifice, they poured the blood out at the foot of the altar, and Jesus poured out his blood on the cross. I'm going to read Isaiah 53:5, and it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Jesus suffered for our sins, and the blood of Jesus was sufficient to cover all sins forever. It was enough. There's no need for another sacrifice. The altar also represents the place where we submit ourselves unto the Lord. And like Jesus said in Luke 22:42, "Not my will, but yours be done." So it's a place not only of sacrifice, but a place of submitting to God. Romans 12:1 tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And the way I like to say it, the only reasonable thing for us to do is give ourselves to Jesus, because when we try to run it ourselves, we mess it up every time. But it's reasonable to submit ourselves to the Lord. Psalms 51:17 tells us that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, "I die daily." You know, we have flesh and that wants its way. We live in a dirty world, so there's, you know, we are continually asking God to cleanse us. Galatians 2:20, we're going to read that. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so really this is saying we crucify our own will and we submit to God. Hallelujah. And we live by faith, putting our faith in Jesus for our lives. Slide 5 is the laver. It was a place of cleansing and sanctification. The laver was made of polished brass that shone, and it was also used as a mirror. They would wash in the water, and they would look to see if they were clean, because they couldn't go into the holy place if they were dirty. And we can't enter the presence of God dirty, so it's necessary to examine and cleanse ourselves, David said in Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So part of our daily walk with the Lord is to just, you know, ask him. You know, we live in a dirty world. We listen to so many negative things. And so we need to come. God, cleanse me. Just cleanse me from all of the negativity. We're going to read John, 1 John 1:7, and then down to verse 9. And it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So it's so awesome that we have somebody, a high priest named Jesus, that when we mess up, we can go to him and he just cleanses us. Cleanses us all over, and we come out clean and white as snow. Amen. Now slide 6. This is the door going into the holy place. And then we can go right on to slide 7, and we're going to talk about the lampstand, which was a type of the Holy Spirit and his work. The lampstand was made of pure gold. It weighed 150 pounds, and I looked it up on the internet when I was studying this just to see what it would be worth. Right now, on the gold market, it would be worth $24 million. Woo. Yeah, I want one. This represents the value of the vessels that hold the Holy Spirit and that shine with the light of Jesus. You're worth $24 million. Because you hold God's presence and you shine with his glory, and you're of great value. there were 7 cups for the olive oil to be put in. 7 is the number for perfection or completeness. The center branch represents Jesus, and the other 6 represent man. 6 is the number of man. When we unite with Christ in the center of our lives, we are complete. Colossians 2:10 tells us that we are complete in Him. In Jesus, we're complete. And every day, Aaron added oil and trimmed the wicks. Each day, our flesh needs to be trimmed, and we need fresh oil so that we'll shine brighter. Amen? Ephesians 5:18 tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And it created the light. It was the only light in the holy place. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 7. And it says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So the light of God shined in our hearts, and now we have a treasure there. Hallelujah. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then we're going to read Matthew 5:14 through 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So whatever light we give off as sons and daughters of the King, it's for God's glory. Amen? Going to slide 8, this is the table of showbread, and it represents the word. And the candlestick and the table of showbread was exactly opposite of one another. One wasn't ahead of the other, but this shows us that the Holy Spirit and the Word are equally important in our life. Bread symbolizes the Word of God, and there were 12 tribes of Israel, and every week they brought 12 loaves of bread, one for each tribe, and so that's saying there's enough bread for all. There's enough bread for every one of us. Hallelujah. And we must feed upon Him before we can enter into the Holy of Holies. Once a week, the bread was replaced with new bread, and the old bread was eaten by the priest as an act of worship. Our study of God's Word is part of our worship. Sometimes we just think, well, there's worship and then there's the Word, but our study of God's Word is actually part of our worship to God. 1 Chronicles 9:32-33 tells us that the singers were the ones that prepared the bread and brought in the showbread. And with singing, the word of God is ushered in. That's interesting that we still follow that pattern. You almost always sing, and then we bring the word. But in the Old Testament, the singers ushered in the word of God. Interesting. Slide 9, there's 5 ways to receive the Word of God: by hearing, by reading, by studying, by memorizing, by meditating. That word also means muttering. Meditate means kind of mumble the word. It kind of, when you speak it out loud like that, it just gets into your consciousness better. John 4:26 tells us that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. We're going to slide 10 now, and this is the golden altar of incense, and it represents prayer. In the Old Testament, the altar was in the holy place, except on the Day of Atonement when it was taken into the Holy of Holies. On the Day of Atonement, blood was sprinkled on the horns of the altar as proof that sacrifice had been made for sin, and it was the last step before entering the presence of God. And in Hebrews, it just states that the altar of incense, golden altar of incense, was in the Holy of Holies because ever since Jesus died, we have been living in the Day of Atonement because forever atonement has been made now. It's not a something we do every year. It's forever. We're in the day or the time of atonement. The censer was a small vessel they used to carry coals from the altar in the outer court to the golden altar. And the coals from the brazen altar were proof that sacrifice had been made for sin. Thus, there was a right to enter the presence of God. And so now, God paid the price, and we can always enter into his presence. The priest took the censer and set it on the golden altar, and then he dropped incense in the censer, and a cloud of incense would arise out of the fire. And besides the Day of the Atonement, they burned incense twice a day. At 9 o'clock every morning, they would burn incense to offer praise to God. They would praise him for who he is and for what he's done. And then every hour at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they would go to the golden altar of incense and they would present their petitions. And this is really important because when we first give praise and remember how great God is, how powerful he is, the mighty things that he's done, and then later we take our petitions to him, we have faith to believe him. Because sometimes our situations look so terrible that we don't see any way. I mean, we can't, you know, my problem's too, it's too big for me to fix. And we get to thinking, it's impossible. But if we first exalt God, and he's the name above every name, he's the highest above all things, there's nothing impossible with God. And if we go to bring our petitions with that attitude, we realize this problem isn't a problem to God at all. He can handle it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the wilderness, the children of Israel were in rebellion. They were in time of rebellion to God. I mean, and they did that a lot. How stupid can you be after you see all that they saw? But anyway, they were in a time of rebellion against God, and a plague came in, and there were people dying everywhere the plague went. And we're going to read a story from a verse from Numbers 16:46, and this shows Aaron's intercession and how it stopped the curse. So Numbers 16:46, so Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in front of the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for the wrath has gone out from the Lord and the plague has begun. Well, Aaron did what the Lord said. He took the incense and he went and he ran among the people. Everywhere he went, the plague stopped immediately. And do you know our prayers are powerful enough to stand between death and life? Amen. Hallelujah. Slide 11, this is the veil going into the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died in Matthew 27:51, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And this was a supernatural thing because the veil was woven material 4 inches thick. It was thick material. It would have been hard to cut, but it just tore from top to bottom and tore in two. Because now, because Jesus died for our sins and paid the final price for sins, we always have access to go into the presence of God, and God wants us in his presence. Amen? We're going to read Hebrews 2:13 through 18. And it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and he's broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law. So it's really, the law was torn in two. It was stopped. The law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Hallelujah. It is so awesome that we have access to go right into our Father's living room, to where he lives. And he said, you know, he just says, come, come, my children. He wants our fellowship, wants us to be there. We're going to read Hebrews 10, 19 through 20. And it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we're going to slide 12, and this is the Ark of the Covenant, and it was covered with the mercy seat. And the throne of judgment turned to a throne of grace by the atoning blood. Hallelujah. The mercy seat set on top of the Ark of the Covenant, where God reigns over his covenant with his people. Slide 13, we're going to look at the articles of the Ark. They held the tokens of God's covenant with his people. And there was the pot of manna, which is represents our daily bread. It also represents divine provision. And it also means secret or hidden meaning. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. And it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So when we have his Spirit, God shows us his hidden meaning. The manna also represented healing. Mark 7, 25 says that that healing is the children's bread. So we have a right to healing. And also when the children of Israel were living in the wilderness and manna came every day, when they were eating the manna, they had divine health. They walked in divine health. They were just well all the time, unless they were in rebellion and stepped out of that grace. And then the second thing in the whole Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments. It represents God talking to man. And we know Matthew 22, 37 through 40 tells us that all of those commandments changed to loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. We're going to read Hebrews 8:10. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So now instead of having stone tablets of the commandments, God writes his law on our hearts. Hallelujah. It's in there. It's in there. And he just imparts it to us. It's like the word of God. When we partake of the word of God, it comes to live in here. You know, it's part of us. It's part of who we are. The word so influences that it becomes a part of who we are. Hallelujah. And then there was the third thing in the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod that budded, and it represents God granted authority. And Jesus gave us his authority and the power of the Holy Spirit when he left the earth. In Matthew 28, 18 through 19, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." And then he said, in effect, "And I give you the authority to go out in my name." Hallelujah. And he says, "You go and do my works." We're going to retrace our steps to enter God's presence. And we don't do these through ritual or law, but because the tabernacle is a shadow of heavenly things, it shows a pattern of the way we should live our daily lives. We enter our worship of God through Jesus. In the brazen altar is where we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. That's what we did with the communion this morning. And likewise, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Every day, okay, God, today's not about me, it's about you. And what do you have for me to do in your kingdom? And then the laver is where we examine and cleanse ourselves. And because we live in a dirty world and there's all kinds of trash out there, you know, we need that cleansing of the Lord just to cleanse us. Search us, Lord, cleanse us. And then the candlesticks where we daily are filled with the Spirit and anew, and we have our wicks trimmed so that we'll shine brighter. The table of showbread is where we partake of God's word. The golden altar of incense is where we worship the Lord and bring our petitions to him, and also that's the place of where we intercede for others. The mercy seat is where God meets and fellowships with man, where he reigns over his covenant with his people. And the Ark of the Covenant contains manna, representing God's provision, revelation, healing. The Ten Commandments is now written on our hearts, and Aaron's rod represents the authority which has been given to the church. So we have the authority of the Lord. And we're going to read one scripture now that gives an example of when the glory, and even in those days when they had their meetings in the tabernacle, there was God's presence always lived in the Holy of Holies, but sometimes it would just fill the whole place. And we're going to read an example of that, 2 Chronicles 5, 13 through 14. It says, "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever,' that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." So even in those times in the Old Covenant, they had times of God's refreshing and his presence coming in. And now we're going to read a large passage of scripture from the New Testament that shows if there was a glory on the Old Covenant, how much greater is the glory in the new covenant? We're going to 2 Corinthians 3, and we're going to read 6 through 17. It says, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Hallelujah. "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious," that was the old tabernacle, "so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" Hallelujah. We should be continually experiencing the glory of the presence of the Lord. "For if the ministry of condemnation had glory," and I'll stop just a minute there, the law really was a ministry of condemnation. You know, it just told people all, "Thou shall not, thou shall not, thou shall not." And it just was like a ministry of condemnation. And if that even had glory, how how shall the Spirit not be more glorious? Okay, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So now we have the blood of Jesus covering us, and it exceeds in greater glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains uplifted in unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ. When people try to keep the law and try to live in the Old Testament, it says a veil is still over their eyes. They're still not seeing clearly because that passed away. God's doing something new now, and we have to live in the new. Amen? It says, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God wants us living in liberty. Amen? Living in our, you know, it's just he's provided so much for us. He wants us to come and fellowship with him, to be in his glory, to be in his presence. I like to picture God as my big sweet daddy. And I can climb up in his lap and just love him. And he loves me. And I can ask him and he'll give me anything I want. That's my poppy. That's my big sweet daddy. You know, now, you know, God used to be a fearsome thing. But now God wants intimacy. He wants fellowship with his children. He wants to love us as his sons and daughters. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to him. You know, what divided us from coming into his presence is forever gone. And he wants us in the Holy of Holies. He wants us there in his living room. He wants us there. He wants us close as a family. You know, what do you love more than your children coming to you and enjoying being with you and want to be in your lap and want to just be there? God loves us. We are born into the kingdom of God. We're the apple of God's eye. He loves us. We're la niña de su ojo. Hallelujah. We're special to God. He cares about us. He wants us to draw close to him and come into his presence. Amen. That's his purpose. That's his plan. And so it's just, I just can't get over how awesome it is for the God of the universe, the one who made everything, wants to be my best friend. Wants me close to him. It's just amazing to me how great God is and awesome it is to be able to have a relationship with God where we talk to him, pray to him, listen to his voice. It's really beautiful. Ramon and Melissa and Samantha are leaving this week, and they're going to France for a week and then to Israel for a week. And I would just like to pray for them before they go. But right before that, Ramon, you've been having awesome things happen in your outreaches to the rehabs. And I'd like you to just share a testimony a little bit, and then I'd like to pray for all of you.
Thank you, Pastor. Actually, I shared with Pastor Calvin. This happened on Tuesday. I was in Agua Prieta, and I was at a rehab, And one of the first questions I usually ask people is, how many of you people know me? And usually about, I don't know, half a third know me. But in this case, I think only one knew me. Actually, no, it was very few. It was about a group of about 20, 25 men. And I could just feel a sense of coldness. I could feel everything I said was just like bouncing back. And I was like, I ain't going to get nowhere. And I just kept doing what the Lord told me to do. And I just kept teaching, kept telling them, kept just confirming who God is and how much he loved them. And every one of those men stepped forward to come receive Christ. Every one. I've never had that happen. Every single one. So I just want to tell you, when you do what the Lord has called you to do, because he hasn't called you to do what I'm called to do. He's called you to do what you're called to do. And sometimes, you know, you get there and you just feel like, I'm getting nowhere. Well, the breakthrough's close. Breakthrough's close. So I just want to let you know there's encouragement, and every one of you has people to reach that I can't reach, the pastors can't reach. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Well, come on up. Calvin, would you join me? And anyone that wants to help pray for them, you're welcome to just come up and pray with us for them. Ramon goes to rehabs all the time, really often, and reaches many, many people, receive the Lord, and we're so grateful that you're a part of our lives. So grateful. And we just believe that God is going to go with you on this trip. We believe that he's going to use you and bless you and make you shine. And we believe he's going to give you words for your mother-in-law that you're going to visit in France, and that you're going to be a light coming into her life, and you're going to bring her what she needs. Deep inside of her, there's a hunger. And God's going to use you to feed that hunger, use you to bless her. And God's going to give you some divine, when you go to the Holy Land, you know, you're not part of a tour or anything like that, but God's going to give you some divine contacts. He wanted you free because he has some special things for you to see, people to meet, people to talk to. It's going to be a God-blessed trip. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone wants to help us pray?
Just come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. As Barbara was sharing there for the last minute or so, it's like it was coming up in me that you're going to France because you have blood, family, and roots there. He looks like a Mexican, but he's a Frenchman, okay? But you're going to where your bloodline is and your roots are, and then you're going to leave there and go to where the bloodline of Jesus is and where his roots are. And it's just interesting to me that you get to go to these two places, like your home and the home of Jesus, your roots and his roots. It's just something about that fascinates me. Just reach your hands up here, guys. Reach your hands towards them, or come up if you wish. Lord, I want to first of all say thank you for this lovely family and for sharing them with us. Lord, you have put them in a beautiful ministry that is connected in many ways to many churches. But you've allowed them to be with us a lot. And I just want to say, Lord, thank you for that. But even though we consider them as part of ourselves, we realize that the bigger picture is they're part of the body of Christ and part of the Christian community here, there, and everywhere. And Lord, I just feel in my heart that they're on a special assignment, both in France and in Israel, a special assignment. And Lord, I don't pretend to know what that's all about. I just feel the specialness of it. So Lord, as representative of this ministry and this church, I want to say, Ramon, Melissa, Samantha, we put our blessing on what you're doing. We put our blessing on the activities that you will participate in. We put our blessing and strength and power behind and anointing behind the ministries that you will extend to those in need. We will go with you in prayer, and we will go with you in heart. Even as Paul told the church, he said, I was there with you in spirit. But we just ask that we can go with you in spirit. And so we'll just all together go to France and all together go to Israel with this family as our representatives. Not just to see a bunch of pretty countries, experience new experiences, but to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, that's the whole idea. That's what it's all about, going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And they have now a perfect opportunity to be a part of that. And we just pray that this be the beginning of many beautiful new things in their lives. And Lord, on the home front here, we pray that as they return home, they'll come back not only with a good report, but they'll come home to a good report from those that they leave here. Lord, that all things in their immediate family here be in good order with their children and grandchildren. That all things in their business and in their ministry be in good order, Lord. Lord, you said that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by you. And I just confirm with the feelings and knowings in my heart, I confirm, Lord, that the steps that they're taking are being ordered by you. And so, Lord, we just agree with that. We agree with this journey. We agree with the ministry that goes forth. We pray, Lord, that the increase upon them and within them will be growing and maturing and developing into bigger and greater things to the glory of God and to the benefit of the body of Christ. Put healing in their hands. Put healing in their words. Put healing in their eyes. And may healing shine from them. Healing for the spirits and the souls and the bodies of men and women, boys and girls. Father, we send them with our blessing, with your blessing, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's gonna far exceed your expectation. Far exceeds your expectation. So no use even expecting anything, because it's just going to be washed away. It's going to be so much bigger than that.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Why don't you go ahead and pray for the food, or see if anyone else wants to pray.
Please stand to your feet. If anyone else would like prayer today, please come forward. So do you guys want to go to France with them? Israel? Isn't that awesome? I have family who was born in Ireland and in Scotland, and I've always wanted to go back to where some of my family was born. And who knows, you know, eternity's a long time. I'll get a chance one of these days. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Please stay and participate with us in lunch. I made a pot of beans, and Barbara made a pot of red chili that's enough to feed everybody in here. Now, I don't know what else is in there, but there's more than that in there. So if you didn't bring anything, just say, well, I don't guess I needed to bring anything, and come and eat with us. You can bring something next time. And let's just ask the Lord's blessing on that now. Father, in Jesus' name, as our fellowship continues over the natural table and over the natural food, we just pray your blessing upon this fellowship. Thank you for the opportunity to participate one with another in a good meal. And within a time of love and fellowship, sweet communication about what you're doing in our lives. Lord, bless our get together and bless our stay together. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the food. We want to thank you for it and thank you for the nourishment that it'll bring to our natural bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother's